First's core is decent. What, there's a character who dies, and that episode's very well done, and after that it becomes very weak. It's really sad, because it's had an amazing start and just completely falls apart after that.
Cool. I'm going to not watch that, especially since I have to watch other shows.
Don't watch Macross Delta. It's really not worth it.
Yeah. That being said, the dude...
worth your time.
The dude in Frontier who was dating the giant chick and then he died, Rip and Pepperoni.
He was the best character.
Yeah, for real.
Because he actually had a solid motivation and like a reason to like him.
Yeah, it was great.
Unlike Alto, who was an unlikable sociopath the entire series.
But
that's my issue with most Macrosses, is that they have unlikable protagonists. Frontier works well in that you're not really supposed to like the protagonist. Like the original Macross, Hikaru's not really the best person. And that's, like, part of his issue with Minmay is that he just won't confess to her. And that Minmay isn't really in the wrong because she doesn't understand that he likes her.
I mean, Minmay is a piece of shit, though.
I feel bad for both girls, really, at the end.
I don't feel a lick of sympathy for Minmay. Minmay can get absolutely fucked. Like, fuck her. She's a whore. She literally tried to get the main character to kill himself in, like, a moment of passion or whatever you want to call it. And then immediately was like, oh, okay, never mind.
She thought they were both going to die in space of starvation and wanted to kill each other in, like, a nice suicide pact.
Oh, yeah, nice suicide pact. That's totally a thing.
Listen, it's better than starving to death. Starving to death's awful.
I guess, but they could have tried a little harder. It wasn't like they were so fucked up that they were like beyond the ability to do anything yet. They were.
There's only so many space tuna you can catch before you're gonna starve.
Canned tuna. All right, I'm gonna cut off the hot takes and let another Gooka jump on.
Awesome. Let some other Gooka drop her hot takes.
Yes, I definitely want to hear them. Thanks for coming on. It has been a blast.
It's been fun.
Oh, go watch more Gundam Build Fighters. Don't talk to me.
Oh yeah, I'm getting through it.
Good.
I'm
good
excited
for
to see my boy Comfort do some things.
Wing Gundam Finiche is my main boy.
Oh yeah, he's a cool dude, but I gotta go with the Comfort. It's cool, we'll see.
It's respectable. Gooka, by the way, if you haven't seen Gundam Build Fighters, go watch Gundam Build Fighters.
Yeah, absolutely worth it. Great selection of mobile suits. They even have some turn A stuff, which really shocked me.
Yeah, that show is an unabashed love letter to all things Gunpla, and it's awesome.
Okay, we'll see you, Dougal. Let's let some other Gooka in.
Alrighty. Catch you later. Alright, Gookas. The line is open. If anybody wants to call in now. Stinky feet are, bad. It's gross. But you blocked me. Wait, I didn't block you? Are you... What? I've never blocked anybody on this account. I am confirming right now that I do not have anyone blocked on this account. If you can't message me, send me a friend request and let me see if that solves the problem. That's strange. Yeah. There you go. That was weird. Yeah, there we go. All right. Gooka, who wishes to remain anonymous, you are on the air. Can you hear me?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Welcome to Dougal Talk Show.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So
I'm not a slut. Fuck you.
Damn.
Frick
that was
you. I'm not a slut.
The slut accusations come fast around here.
I'm not a slut. If I were a slut, would I be wearing Pontu? Huh? So what I want to talk about, did you catch Super Off yesterday?
Yes, it was pretty good.
Yep. I think my favorite set was probably Bado DJ Ryu's.
I've heard that opinion several times, and that was a fantastic set.
Well, when you've been following Ryu from like the very beginning, it's amazing how much effort he's put in and how much he's grown as a DJ. It's really inspiring, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. It's definitely pretty awesome.
And the fact that he streams on Euro time is also super nice. I remember like I was spending a super shit day at work. I just look at the Shamiko and Ryu is giving his giving hints that he's streaming and I just tune in, so it's always nice to hear from him. But one thing he did is he had that speech right afterwards that kind of talked about how being an otaku was important to him. He said, otaku or death? I think that's what he said. A bit dramatic, but that's what he said. And it got me wondering, it sounds weird to say like this, but could I commit to this hobby to the extent that he has? Is what he got me thinking about.
I mean, I guess nobody can answer that question but you, but, I mean, I'm a new DJ as far as, like, actual live mixing goes. I only started DJing back in March. In fact, I really only started to, like, live mix DJ back when, like, I volunteered to take the mantle with Anisan Hijack because I figured, like, if I'm going to be the Tensho of a DJ group, I should know how to live mix at least a little bit. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, it's definitely tough. It's tough to get better. Like, it's really easy to learn the basics of, like, how to pull off a BPM transition or, like, you know, the DJ 101 stuff and, like, how to smoothly go between songs. But, like, the really, really cool shit that all the best DJs do, like, it's tough to get that information. Because here's the thing. For me, I don't learn very well, like, on my own. Like, I know a few DJs who've been like, oh, like, just watch some YouTube videos, or, like, just watch some DJs do what they do. And, like, I tend to learn a lot better in, like, a more structured class type of environment. So I'm always seeking out, like, little online classes or, like, structured programs or whatever. But obviously there are not too many of those. But I have found a few and I'm going to try to do them. Unfortunately, the one that I just found right now, the guy like wants you to buy like a $1,500 controller and play without a computer. And I think that's pretty ridiculous for a newbie to the hobby. Yeah. But anyway, so I'm kind of rambling here, but the advice I would give you if you're wondering whether or not this is something you want to do is give it a try in like a low risk environment, like Pirate Tractor or Pirate Record Box, one of those programs. Buy like a you know, beginner level controller, and just give it a shot. Don't worry too much about like whether or not you'll continue with it, because you can always sell your controller and it's not that big of a deal. But you know, give it a go.
My point was less about DJing. I think the point Ryu was trying to make was that he was that being an otaku was like not being a DJ, but like anime, and anime has been like a big part of his life, and during his And during his speech, and especially during his set, he wanted to make that come across. I mean, a man, it's like, someone like him does not dress like a Mado for no reason. And also, I like to talk to the Gooka who said, I'm about to commit suicide on stream. I am not. In a few weeks, I will be very happy. I will be compying with you all.
Why is it going to take a few weeks?
Because I'm finishing some real life stuff, and I'm kind of swearing off the compai.
Oh, good for you.
Until then.
I'm being bullied right now. Yeah. The threat is bullying me. This is savage.
Well, you did. Yeah, but yeah, so yeah, that was my point, is suicide Gooka, no. Don't even. No. I'm a happy Gooka. Stress Gooka, but happy Gooka.
I hope all Gookas are happy, especially this holiday season.
Yeah. I hope all the Gooka get all the hugs they deserve. All the hugs, I tell you. I want you to roll for happy, and I know one of you is going to get 100 for the rest of you. But yeah, so to get back on track. Yeah, so his speech was like about how much how much being an otaku made him happy, how much it was a part of him, and I was thinking, like, do I feel this way about anime or whatever to this extent? And that's what his speech got me thinking.
I mean, I think it's a really cool sentiment. And you know, it's something that comes up a lot in stuff like Genshiken and other things like that. Like, what is being an otaku really mean to you? And like how invested are you in the community? A few years ago, I actually took a really strong interest in like the academic side of being an otaku. And I was reading a bunch of really cool books about like the psychology of otaku. Particularly a good one is there's one called Otaku Database Animals by Hiroki Azuma, which talks about sort of otaku consumption habits and like the way people in this hobby think, and it's pretty interesting from a psychological perspective. But there's a lot of really good books on the subject. And I guess if I was to if someone was to ask me, like, what does being an otaku mean to me, I think of like all of the different stories from anime and manga and VNs and games that have like touched me in some way. You know, whether it's like a really good horror story or like a really emotional anime, like we have the key shit that just makes everybody cry whether they want to admit it or not. Like, let's be clear, you all cried at Angel Beats, you all cried at Clannad, don't try to fucking pretend you didn't, like you did. You know, and the way these stories have the ability to like move us and make us feel something is amazing. And I think being able to share that with a whole community of people, whether we meet them in person or not, is really special. And I think it's something that normal fags really don't have, because, you know, they're just consuming whatever slop is served to them on Netflix, and they don't even, like, you know what? One thing that I've noticed about, like, normal faggotry is that they're all so apathetic about the media they consume. Like, they just consume
they consume, they move on. But occasionally they do have that one thing that they call their favorite. But they do consume a lot, and I think, and also that consumption is, it's always I'm binging this because I have nothing else to do, or I'm binging this while I'm doing something. Maybe for better or for worse, when I try to watch anime, I do try to make it to be focused.
Yeah, that's also a good point. Oh, what were you about to say?
I was reading. I hate the ones who watch or play something while drowning it out. That's basically it. If it's like, have you really watched an anime if it was just background noise? No. And that's what Netflix is, or anyone who's passionate about streamers. It's background noise. Nobody cares.
Well, yeah, a lot of people care. Who are like, oh yeah, I fell asleep to YouTube, or I fell asleep to Netflix. And were you really watching it? Did you really care about it at all? It's a strange thing.
Yeah, I think that's what I think the Netflix model is bringing like anime watchers too. I mean, when the show releases weekly, yeah, you're kind of when you really like it. I remember like when Kill la Kill was releasing, and I used to download the episodes on Friday morning and watch them in class.
Oh man, that shit was the best. I remember being back in high school. Are you old enough for the days of like Bleach episode part 1 of 3 on YouTube and like pre-buffering a ton of those?
Yes.
Oh man, that's how we all watched that back in the day. It was we had laptops in my high school, but we didn't have like obviously certain sites were blocked. So I would like go home and pre-buffer episodes to watch at school, but of course.
Oh, fucking pre-buffering.
Yes,
and then
of course.
On fucking YouTube.
Yeah, and you had to do it like, back then the video size limit was 10 minutes. So it was like every episode was like part 1 of 3, part 2 of 3, and you had like 10 tabs open worth 3 episodes of anime, and you just piecemealed it as you went along. Yeah. And it was like dog shit, 240p, yellow hard-coded subs. But you know what? We loved it.
Did they tell you to add something to the URL so it went to 360p.
I don't think I ever did that. When I really was playing with the big boys, I would use Veo instead of YouTube because they'd let you buffer the whole video at once. That was the real shit. I was like, oh baby, I can buffer a whole episode.
You are such a cad, Dougal.
that was the way we lived life back in 2007.
Yep. Ah, fucking 2007.
You know what, though? I'm going to give you my real hot fucking take here. I think that...
Come on, bring it.
I think that anime, especially like anime culture and con culture, was a lot more fun back then. Maybe it's because of the influx of new fans this past decade, but I think that anime was like way more of like a crazy ass Wild West back then.
Yeah.
And like even with going to conventions, like it was so much less regulated and so much less like organized, and it was just a fun, stupid but fun, like everyone was just having a good time. There was no like no one was worrying about showing off for anybody. Nobody was worrying about like cosplay is not consent this or you know, big industry panels that. It was just like some dudes organized an anime trivia game show panel because they felt like it, and that was half the convention. And like people were just dancing the Hare Hare Yukai in one corner of the lobby, and blaring Gurren Lagann music in the other corner of the lobby, and like it was stupid, but it was a lot of fun. Maybe this is just me being a boomer, but
I think you're right. I think a lot of it is, I think it's the more money you throw at something, the more it becomes serious business, and the more friendly image is important. I think a reproach I can make to a lot of, how would you call it, to a lot of people who don't watch a lot of anime, that they tend to be scared or I don't, maybe not scared, but they not scared, not creeped out, but they feel estranged from how weird anime can get, when I think a lot of us relish in something that feels that foreign. I think the strength of anime, or maybe just the whole Japanese creative culture, is that it's incredibly incredibly creator driven, and so it does tend to reach some extremes, and it does tend to reach some extremes, and so it gets really intense. I'm not 59% autistic. I'm not autistic. God, if I were autistic, my mom would have told me. But yeah, so anime can reach those kind of can make people reach those kinds of emotional extremes, because it is quite weird, it is quite foreign to us, And I think normal people just don't go for that kind of content. Oh shit, the talk show is boring. I'm boring them.
That's just one very mean Gooka. Don't talk about Gooka that way. That's rude. But I think you're right. I think anime has this really special